Good morning. Welcome to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Bree Ziegler sitting in for News Director Dave Doney this week. He is on vacation. And, of course, Joel Riley here this morning. Joel, how are you doing?
I'm doing a lot better than Dave. I tell you, Bree, I was doing the Bowl for Kids on Saturday, and I kept getting updates from Dave because of the storms that were going through. They got delayed coming out of Columbus.
Oh, wow.
And then they got delayed enough where they missed their connector.
Oh, no.
So they were supposed to see baseball Saturday night, missed all that. But I think he's back on track now.
Oh, good. So he gets to at least see some baseball today.
I believe they saw their first game yesterday with more through the week. So.
Oh, okay, good.
I don't know the exact itinerary, but that first day was a little dodgy.
Okay, but he's got his baseball, though, so that's
yes.
The important part.
Yes, they made it. Everybody's safe. And life is good. And I'll tell you what, the Bowl for Kids.
Three
I know
chords
you've
and
done
the
that
truth.
In the past.
It's the
yeah.
Buckeye Country
Another
Bluegrass
awesome
Hour. Sunday morning
Bowl
to
9. To
hosted
you.
By Angie Rob Evans. Right here on Phil Buckeye Fry Country. 107.
Frank Fry from the Century 21. I saw the gang from Moo Moo Express. Licking Memorial, I think, went from 6 teams to 8 teams this year.
Oh, fantastic.
So it was huge. First session, second session, third session, right on through the day. So it was great fun to spend time with the good folks at Licking County and Perry County's big brothers and big sisters.
Fantastic. I saw some pictures over the weekend. That looked like there was a packed house over at Park Lane. So
yeah.
That is a good thing.
It was great. And I tell you, the weather forecast for Saturday was kind of dismal, but it stormed early and then it kind of was okay. It was windy, but it was kind of okay. And I think that helped buoy the numbers nicely.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is a good thing.
So with stormy weather in mind, we turn to our guest, who is Sean Grady, Director, Licking County Emergency Management Agency. Now, I know it's you know, it's that week where we all focus on the weather and that, but I got to tell you, with St. Patrick's Day today, mm-hmm. a little birdie tells me that you spent a little time in Boston mm-hmm. and maybe a little St. Patrick's Day revelry. St. Patrick's Day in Boston has to hit a little different than it does around Licking County.
It's like going home for an Irishman.
Yeah?
Yeah, it truly is. Yeah, the parades are memorable.
Mm-hmm.
The bar hopping is... Forget it. It's memorable until you forget about it. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, South Boston's an interesting place to be.
Yeah, what makes the parades memorable?
The people.
Yeah.
The people always do. I mean, everybody embraces that heritage, and everybody comes out. Even the Italian side of the city comes out and dresses in green for the day. So it's a very, very good time.
So you don't have any problem with the posers and the wannabes on St. Patty's Day?
No, I mean, with the last name of Grady, come on.
Well, I'm a Riley, so I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I
mean, I'm feel you.
It doesn't bother me in the least.
My last name's not Irish, but I am half Irish, so I feel you too.
Nice. So that's cool. That's cool. So it's Severe Weather Awareness Week in Central Ohio, and I mean, you know, I would think people would be aware we had, at least by my recollection, not a lot of thunder and lightning in the month of February in Ohio, but I counted 4 different times there were storms with lightning and thunder in February, and I'm like, my gosh, this is a precursor, and with what we had over the weekend, I mean, the stories out of Oklahoma and Texas and then up through Missouri and all that, it seems the timing is right.
Don't forget, last year, February 28th, was our first tornado touchdown.
That's right, yeah.
In Pataskala. So, yeah, I mean, anything is possible from February 1st on for severe weather. It's really, really through February to November. So, you know, as they start this is Severe Weather Awareness Week. It's also Flood Safety Week.
Okay.
So they're trying to get, you know, the state's trying to push that message for people to... It's springtime. Weather in Ohio gets a little erratic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as of last year when we saw record tornadoes, they wanted everybody to realize that Tornado Alley is shifting a little bit further east. Now the edge of Tornado Alley is getting very close to that tri-state area down around Cincinnati, which means we're even that much more susceptible.
I got you. So when we talk about that, I mean, again, I know the sirens will blow and people need to be aware. And how do you boil it? I mean, as the emergency management agency's director. I know you take all this stuff very seriously. We've talked to you before and you kind of game plan all that through, but that's really what it's about. It's having a plan if the bad juju's hit.
That's exactly it. And that's the emphasis to the folks, the citizens. Have a plan. Have a plan for any of these potential risks that could be rolling through the county. And be aware of where you're at. And that's not just where you live, but that's also where you work and where you typically go.
Yeah.
What are the risks associated with those areas? You know, here in Licking County, our big risks are high winds, floods, tornadoes. And then after that, it kind of gets a lot less probable mm-hmm. that it's going to hit our area. Believe it or not, we're still in an earthquake zone.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I didn't know now, that either.
The New Madrid seismic zone, which is basically the far western edge of Tennessee in that Kentucky area, that is such a, that's like the a San Andreas fault type for our area. If that were ever to happen, we would feel it here.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, so with that not technically qualifying as weather, what should we be aware of and what should we be doing as we go through Severe Weather Awareness Week?
Well, first off, this week, the tornado test for Licking County, the statewide tornado test will actually be Wednesday, but it'll be at 9:50 in the morning.
Okay.
So we will do our test at 9:50 in the morning. The only time we don't do our test at those regular scheduled times is if there's inclement weather in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll make that call. No, our normal tests are at noon on Wednesday. Everybody knows that. You know, we refer to them as hump day tests, right at noon. And just so everybody, to clear up any confusion on this, we typically set them off right at noon, but we have until 12:30. If the center's busy for whatever reason, they can push it off a little bit, so don't get too concerned.
Okay.
Anytime between noon and 12:30 is when they'll go off. And they should cycle for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes or so. 57 sirens located in the county. Do they cover the entire county? No, they do not. Sirens are owned by the individual jurisdictions, so we just do the triggering, and then we'll notify anybody if there's sirens that don't work. So if they don't work, by all means, let our office know. But really, the big things is having a kit, having a plan for where you're at, and then the other thing that really was hammered home for us last year is folks need to take a serious look at their insurance coverage.
Mm.
Not only for their homeowners, for the regular, you know, high wind type damage, that sort of thing, but to also realize flood damages are not covered by your homeowner's policy. You can get an auxiliary national flood insurance policy. You just contact your local agent. Licking County participates in the flood insurance plan, so every jurisdiction, every municipality, every township is eligible, and everybody in the county can pick up auxiliary insurance through that. Now, a lot of people will tell me when we have that conversation, well, I'm not in a flood zone. Doesn't mean you can't flood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not in a flood zone either, but I'm about 65 feet away from water. And if it gets up there, it's going to be pretty deep.
So, right.
Anything is possible. I mean, remember, look back to Hurricane Helene last year. All that flood damage that occurred from those landslides, a lot of those people were on hillsides, not normally in a flood zone.
Mm-hmm.
Still considered flood damage.
And I understand that flood insurance is actually fairly efficient. It's not terribly costly for most folks.
For most folks.
Yeah.
And it can be. If you're in a, next to the water and it's a flood prone area, or if you're in the floodplain, it's going to be a little bit more costly.
Okay.
But if you're in that floodplain, usually that's required by your mortgage holder that you have to have flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know about it. So a lot of times we'll hear, well, you know, we were told we didn't need to get it because we're not in the floodplain.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you have to be able to evaluate your own risk. You know, how likely is it that a creek backs up? How likely is it that drains back up? Take a look at where you're at and make that determination. But I would encourage you to, you know, reach out to your insurance carrier, get a quote, go through the process, look at the risks.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned a kit early in your answer there. So what should be in the average kit? Or is there an average kit? I mean, is a kit dependent on where I live, where I work, where I drive, and all those things?
Yes.
Okay.
All of those things.
Okay.
Also depends on the season.
Okay.
In wintertime, I'd probably want some things that, you know, a little bit warmer clothes in case I get stuck in my car, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as you look at it, non-perishable food, making sure you've looked at your prescription meds, having that kind of stuff available to you. If you wear glasses, you know, do you have a baby? Infant formula, diapers, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you start to look at all the things you would normally use during the course of the day and what do you need immediately. One other thing that people will talk about is having copies of valuable documents on a thumb drive, keeping that thumb drive secure.
Okay.
And I've always go back to, you know, I think it was 2011 when the tsunami hit in Japan. You know, who would have ever thought that an earthquake would cause a tsunami, which would lead to a nuclear reactor meltdown?
Yeah.
So you get that cascading event.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so rare to see an event happen where you know bad stuff is coming at you and you have 10 minutes to prepare. What do you do in that 10-minute time frame? How do you prove that that piece of land that's been wiped clean is yours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have a copy of your mortgage? Do you have a copy of your driver's license, your passport, all of that stuff? Your birth certificate, all those documents that are hard to get recreated, you know, do you have that kind of stuff readily available?
Would you recommend, because, you know, maybe I'm not super computer literate, but almost everybody has a smartphone or a phone, taking pictures of all that and having that on the phone?
Yes.
Because the phone goes everywhere.
Yes and no, as long as your phone's secure.
Okay.
And password protected.
Okay.
You don't want that. A lot of this, you don't want these documents getting into the hands of people that shouldn't have them.
Gotcha.
Keep that in mind. So a lot of cases, and they do make these, they are on the market, is secure thumb drives that are password protected or encrypted.
Okay.
You can buy those commercially and then scan those documents, put them on them, and just put them in a secure location. So if you had to grab one thing, you're grabbing that plus your go bag of stuff that needs to go with you. That will help you if you ever have to go to a shelter or go somewhere else, stay with family, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The bug out bag seems to have kind of taken on a life of its own. I mean, I know they sell them at Costco, and I mean, but the pre-program may be not exactly what you need. It might be a good starter.
It's a great start.
Okay,
it's a great start. But you know, we're doing a pod. It's a point of distribution in partnership next week with the health department, mental health and recovery, and Licking County Aging. To give out 150 prepackaged kits as part of this. And, you know, these kits have the basic stuff in them. They have, Coast Guard ration bars, which are used on lifeboats, prepackaged water, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the kind of stuff that you just don't buy it, put it in the closet, and forget about it. You have to look at it once a year to maintain it, make sure it's up to date, you know, make sure it's got the relevant stuff that your family needs. Not just the stuff that, you know, the mass marketing company decided to give you.
Right.
You know, because I guarantee you, the day you need it, you open it up, you're going, what do I want this for?
I gotcha. Now, when you talk about that kind of game planning, if I'm, you know, either starting from scratch or I'm using that prepackaged thing and I'm kind of using that as a building block, what does your information, your historical perspective, your position as director of EMA, what kind of time frame should I prepare for? I mean, I know it's going to be dependent on whether it's a tornado or a flood or those kinds of things, but the average bug out bag should be good for how long?
Well, the federal government will tell you 72 hours.
Okay.
We would like to stretch that to at least a week.
Wow.
Just because, especially, everybody's seen the news and seen what's happening in the government right now. You see what's happening to FEMA. A lot of these federal agencies are getting cut to the quick. The one thing that you see is that, you know, you have local emergency management, we have state emergency management, but there's not a lot of staff in either one of these agencies. So when you have these large regional disasters, there are people coming, but the bulk of those people coming to help you are going to be volunteers.
Okay.
Affiliated with what we call the NGOs or non-governmental organizations, Salvation Army, Red Cross, Team Rubicon, the faith-based organizations.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably about 100 different organizations registered with the Ohio VOAD, or Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. And they all do something special. You know, it's not all encompassing. So they all do have a little sweet spot as to what they specialize in.
Gotcha.
We think of Red Cross, we think of blood drives, we think of sheltering, that sort of thing. The guys who show up when there's a fire, you know, to help the displaced folks.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation Army does something different. A lot of these other folks do something different. So you look at it and you kind of figure, okay, well, you know, what do we need to do? And that's kind of where we're at. And, you know, we plan accordingly. Here for us, we should have enough notice of impending weather. You know, National Weather does a fantastic job of providing these notices and these advance warnings. The catch is you have to pay attention to it. And that's really the catch.
Right.
You know, we watch the news on TV and the weather guy comes on, we all walk away. It's time for the bathroom break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pay attention to it. Have a way to get these messages. If you've got smartphones and you do that type of thing, there's plenty of free apps out there on the weather side. You know, we have our HyperReach system here in the county for mass notification. Those warnings go out for the only time that they're automatically triggered in this county is tornado warnings.
Okay.
And those are going to be for the actual warning box as it moves through the county. You'll see those notifications. And you can sign up for it, and you can do that on the county website. If you go to the department link and then look for EMA, there's a big link there for HyperReach. Sign up.
Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. We got more to come. Sean Grady, our guest, Director, Licking County Emergency Management Agency. It's Severe Weather Awareness Week in Ohio. More to come. Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country, 107.7.
Hey there, folks. Dave Doney here.
And Joel Riley.
We're your hosts for Talk of the Town, your go-to podcast for everything happening in our local community.
That's right, Dave. We dish out the latest on events, interview local leaders, and we sprinkle in a little fun.
More than a little fun. So whether you're a longtime resident or just passing through, join us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for a good time and the inside scoop on all things local.
Yeah, don't miss out. Hit that subscribe button now and never miss an episode on your favorite podcast platform.
Or visit our website at WNKO.com to stay in the loop. And if there's a guest, event, or topic you think we should be talking about, send us an email to news@wnko.com.
I love it. Tune in and be a part of the conversation.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town, Buckeye Country 107.7. Bree Ziegler sitting in for News Director Dave Doney this week. He is currently on vacation. Joel also here with us this morning, along with our guest Sean Grady. And Joel, you guys were laughing over there.
Laughing because I'm talking to Sean. You know, Dave's on third vacation in the first quarter of 2025, and Sean basically must be nice, and then you said you're going to watch your first ball game this week.
Actually, I just did. I did it on Saturday.
Okay.
I watched it on TV.
And I got you.
I don't normally get too excited about Grapefruit League baseball.
Yeah.
Because it's not good baseball. granted, you go down to Florida.
I was going
to
say.
You're there for the sun.
Might be a location thing.
Exactly.
For sure. Sean Grady, our guest director, Licking County Emergency Management Agency at Severe Weather Awareness Week in Ohio. You know, Sean, you kind of alluded to this a little bit in the first segment, but I'm curious. I mean, we had that, what I believe was affectionately referred to as the dirt snow a couple of weekends ago. But, you know, we saw over the weekend, I mean, you know, dust storms wreaking havoc out in the Plain States. And there are fires, I forget how many, but we've seen fires in the Myrtle Beach area. We've seen them, you know, out in the southern Plain States. Talk to me about fire potential in Ohio right now. I mean, other than the weekend, that week leading up was pretty dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was. And remember, we had a drought last year.
Right.
You know, technically we're out of the drought conditions.
Okay.
But there's still a water deficit. And I don't remember the actual number, but it's still a couple of inches where we're less than what we normally are.
Okay.
Which means that as soon as it rains, the soil absorbs it, and then the ground cover is still relatively dry.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an Ohio burn ban in place right now. You know, it'd be smart. There's some restrictions, and then you have to go to the State Fire Marshal's website to actually see the actual ordinance and how it lists out the restrictions and what you can and can't get away with. And then also keep in mind that individual jurisdictions can also have burn bans in place.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of layered. You know, wildfires are possible. I think at one point last week, I want to say it was Tuesday, we had 6 grass fires in the county.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. One almost fairly large.
Okay.
On the eastern end.
I did not know that. And that's the thing. I mean, you know, people hear dust storm. Mm-hmm. And they think, well, that can't happen in Ohio. And they hear wildfires. So I'm like, that can't happen in Ohio. But it can.
It can. Anything is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's
Ohio.
And that's what you game plan for.
Well,
and that's the thing. I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, some jobs like, hey, you know, Doney and Riley work in the morning and then they goof off the rest of the day, which may or may not be true. But I mean, for you, it's kind of 24/7 because of that changeability. There's always a new, I don't know if threat is the right word, but I mean, I imagine even the Intel property. I mean, the fact that they're going to start making chips and the world knows that. You become a target for some things.
Absolutely.
And you become, you know, we had the solar eclipse last year and you game plan for that. I'm thinking about, I read, over the weekend, they're expecting maybe a volcano to, blow off in Alaska sometime over the next couple weeks. That ash can impact Ohio.
It certainly can. Yeah. And it's certainly going to impact flights over the United States and in North America.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that anything within your purview?
It's something that we would be aware of.
Okay.
Anything that can possibly impact us here, we take a look at. You know, we have plans, and part of our emergency operations plans addresses, you know, specific hazards. We tend to break it out. Instead of looking at a plan for, you know, volcanoes or wildfires or that sort of thing, we instead look at our plans for fire, law, public works, you know, that sort of thing. And you start branching it out as to what are our biggest risks. And there's a thing called a THIRA in our world, and it stands for Threat, Hazard, Incident, Risk Analysis.
Okay.
So basically on one side, you list out all of the potential risks. And then you look at, if they happen, are they catastrophic or are they just an annoyance?
Okay.
And what is the probability? So you kind of look at all three of those things and you build accordingly. So one of the things, you know, that they've, over the past probably 20 years, they've been preaching all hazard preparedness. Well, that works to some degree, but it's not really that good when you look at it. What we want to do is we want to build our capability to address the biggest possible risk. At that point, anything else that happens, probably falls within those preparations.
Okay.
Somehow, somewhere.
I got you.
And by doing that, you're building your levels of resiliency and redundancy. And, you know, we try and do that because, you know, you look at 911 as a good example. If 911 doesn't work, people tend to panic. So we need to make sure that we've got levels of redundancy built into the system so it will continue to work. So any potential problem that we see is something that our second layer picks up, our third layer picks up. You know, we had an outage last week with Verizon, and within a very, very short period of time, we were able to get, you know, this means wireless calls were not being routed directly. So within about 30 minutes, we were able to get that rerouted to another number. Mm. So as far as the public was concerned, it was transparent.
Wow.
You know, but it's a question of we need to be aware of it when it happens. Sometimes you're not aware of it right away. Mm-hmm. This particular outage happened about 4 in the morning.
Gotcha.
So the staff picked up on it, made the phone calls, got people involved, and they were able to kind of shift their focus, and next thing you know, it's back to business.
Back to business. So you say if you kind of game plan for that biggest catastrophic issue, then the rest of it kind of falls in order. So is weather for Ohio the biggest catastrophic potential?
No.
What is?
Long-term power outage.
Okay.
By any stretch of the imagination, that is going to be the one thing that causes the biggest impact for us.
When you talk about that, I think back to that big derecho storm, and people were using their cars to charge their phones, and people were going nutso and just couldn't handle it. That, you know, when you talk about catastrophic versus annoyance, I would imagine that line gets thinner as you permeate out into communities.
Think to yourself for a second. When the power goes out in your house, You typically, especially nowadays, you have VoIP phones, and you know if you have a landline, it's probably a VoIP phone, voice over internet, so you lose the internet. Now I've lost the internet means I probably can't stream. I'm not watching TV anymore. Mm-hmm. You've lost, you know, unless you have cable separately. So you start to look at all the different systems within your own home, and all of a sudden your world just got a lot smaller. So now how do we operate? You know, if it's a 2-hour outage, if it's a 6-hour outage, if it's a 1 day, 1 week, etc. And you start to realize things get real dicey after about 6 to 10 hours. You know, you think about your refrigerator, your refrigerated items, your freezer items. If I'm going to lose that, what are your backup plans to have redundant power? Do you have a way to do it? Is there a generator that you have access to? Is there some other way to charge your phones, as you mentioned? Mm-hmm. Is there a way you can get creative if it's a long-term outage? We've all seen, you know, during power outages, long lines at the gas stations from these portable generators. You know, there's not that many gas stations in Licking County that have backup generators.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
So you're down to only a few gas stations that can supply that stuff. You start thinking that, and you war game that out in your mind, and you realize, this could be bad really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And when I say long-term power outage, anything over a week, it starts to get dicey.
I would think even after a couple of days for a lot of people, because we're so convenience oriented. And I mean, you know, at our place, you know, we buy beef and pork in bulk. So power outages are huge, even in the winter for us, because it's like, how are we going to keep all that meat frozen?
Absolutely.
Because we don't want to lose that investment.
Right.
Yeah. So I get it 100%. Well, the conversation is always fantastic. For folks that are intrigued and want to learn more, not only about Severe Weather Awareness Week, but anything else that we've talked about today, Sean, what's the best way to get that information?
Yeah, reach out to our office. We'll be able to we'll have the conversation with you. We're more than happy to talk through it.
Okay.
You know, especially when it comes to preparedness, if you're interested in taking it to the next level and looking to see how you become better prepared, by all means, please reach out to our office. Our contact information is on the county website. You know, give us a call anytime.
Well, and I'll tell you, you're a great follow on X. I follow you all the time, and I retweet most of the stuff, and I don't still understand why you retweet on X, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's a different
thing. Sean, I appreciate the time. As always, it's great to get up to speed. Sean Grady, Director, Licking County Emergency Management Agency. And again, just be aware, it is Severe Weather Awareness Week. We're back on Wednesday, and our guest will be Mary Ann Christ, Executive Director of the Midland Theater. So always good things going on at the Midland, and we'll get you up to speed Wednesday right here. It's Talk of the Town on Buckeye Country 107.7.